So over these next three Saturdays and Sundays, where the elect or those preparing to receive the sacraments of baptism are present, Holy Mother Church will have us go through the scrutiny gospels. And those are the Samaritan woman at the well, which we just heard, the man born blind, and then the raising of Lazarus. And all three of these are focused on a particular need for interior repentance and turning away from sin and the future hope that Christ offers us, especially through the grace of the sacraments. Then, what follows after the homily after each of these gospels is one of the rites for the scrutinies. So this morning, there's actually a rite of exorcism. It's one of the rare times we see an exorcism during Mass, especially. And part of that is to cleanse, to purify, and to give Christ peace to the elect as they continue on their journey towards the Easter Vigil. And not only is it a good introduction for the elect who are present with us, but it's also a good reminder for most of us about the importance for the needs of sacraments, especially at baptism. I'm going to make a kind of a bold statement here, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong after Mass. But I think most of us Catholics walk through the world as if we haven't received any sacraments. I think the general experience of most Catholics is that we spend a lot of our time preparing for sacraments. So you might think about your parents coming to baptism classes. You might think about your own First Communion prep that you did in religious ed classes or at a Catholic school or at home. Then on the day of the sacrament itself, we often dress nicely for the occasion to receive them. And then we actually receive the sacrament from the appropriate minister, whether that's a priest or, in the case of confirmation, a bishop. And then after that, we might have a celebration, a party where we receive gifts, where we might take pictures. But then after all of that is over, the preparation and the day after, I don't think we give a whole lot of thought to it much after that. We don't think about the fact that we just received the grace of God, his very sanctifying life as part of us, that visible outward sign as a sign of an invisible spiritual reality, which is what a sacrament is, that we have that as part of our lives. It's a little like having a superpower, being able to fly, X-ray vision, or maybe super strength, having that your whole life and then not really using it. Now, I'm not trying to make light of the sacraments or suggest that they're like superpowers. You can't go up and be like, confirmation powers, activate. That's not how it works. But it's the idea that we have these abundant graces that the Lord gives to us, and we aren't usually aware of it, or really know that it can be a help to us in this life. As a priest, I receive the grace of holy orders, and I probably don't meditate enough on the power of that grace that God is using, that is imparting through me to others, to be an instrument of Christ in the world. And I think we do that with a lot of the sacraments that we receive. So for the elect and for us, we should spend these weeks really reflecting on the gift of God's grace that is imparted to us through the sacraments. And particularly this morning, I want to focus on the grace of baptism. St. Paul tells us in our second reading from the letter to the Romans that we are justified by faith, and then that gives us the peace of God that is given to us through Jesus Christ, which gives us a hope that won't disappoint. That hope is in the glory of God. And that justification comes from the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins, even for the ungodly, for all. And he did it to prove or to show his love for us. And the issue of justification, that's one of those words that if you ever think about it theologically, your antenna sort of goes up. Justification becomes a contested topic in later centuries for Protestants and Catholics, specifically about how we are justified by faith. And I don't want to get into all that here. There's a lot of good resources if you're interested in that topic that you can find. But I simply just want to say that for Catholics, justification by faith means justification through the baptism that we receive. that when we are immersed in the waters of baptism, we die with Christ to this world, that we become a new creation that is reborn in Christ, cleansed of our original sin, and all sins that we have committed up to that point, which is especially important if you're baptized as an adult. Now, we still have to continue to receive that continual forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation, because we'll continue to fall into sin and temptation after we're baptized. But we also receive what's called an indelible mark, which is also called a character. And that you get that in confirmation and holy orders as well. But that is a mark that can never be taken away. We have it all the way, even until we go, if we go to heaven. And that's one of the reasons that we don't have to get rebaptized, because we have this mark on our soul that comes from the sacrament of baptism. And with that cleansing, with that being reborn, we are all made sons and daughters of God. We are all temples of the Holy Spirit. We're also baptized, and you actually receive the oil of chrism on your forehead. You are baptized as a priest to be able to sanctify the world, a prophet to be able to go witness and proclaim the good news in the world, and also as a king, to govern ourselves and those that are entrusted to our care. It's also the beginning point, the entry point into the other sacraments of the church. So, hope you got all that. Hope you were taking notes on all that. But if we notice that, that water, that's the water that we drink with Jesus. That's what we are, and those that are here soon to receive it, that's what we're walking around with. That's the grace that we have in our soul. So when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman in our gospel, she's asked by Jesus for a drink. And she's shocked by this, to say the least. Because as we learn in the gospel, she's lived a bit of a checkered life. She's had she's on her sixth husband up at this point. And she's coming from a people that had intermarried with the Jewish people of Israel, and yet they had sort of abandoned God. They had fallen outside of the covenant in a lot of different ways. And so her meeting Jesus is sort of a representation of them meeting Jesus in a way, of all people sort of meeting Jesus in a way. And she's at the well, we can notice, in the middle of the day, in the heat of the middle of the day. And she's doing this to be able to avoid embarrassment because of the things that she's done. You might say, in a lot of ways, that she's been drinking from the water of the world. All the allurements, all the temptations, all the sin, all the evil, all those things that look nice and shiny that are out there, she's been drinking from that well for a lot of her life. But Jesus is there to meet her and to offer something deeper, a water that really only he can give. And he knows what she's done. But he loves her, and he encounters her, and he offers her the redemption that she seeks, that new life that she needs in her life. And that is what the power of baptism does. It gives us that new life that really all of us need, all of us seek. And so to the elect who are here this morning, Jesus offers you that new life in baptism, that new life that you need, that new life that you are seeking. No matter where you've been or how far you felt from God or whatever you've done in your life, the Lord is there, is prepared to encounter you this morning and in the sacrament of baptism. He's here to give you that great gift, that living water that only he can give. And not only will he give you the gift of baptism, but he will also feed you on the journey, a journey that all of us are on. And you might, and after he meets the Samaritan woman, he then encounters the disciples that want to give Jesus something to eat. But he tells them that he will give them food. And to be honest, they don't really understand what he's talking about, but he's going to give that food that will help them to do the will of the one who sent him, the will of the Father. And that food is the Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord that he will eventually give to them. And we will also receive that in a matter of moments as well. And as Catholics, We can be a little like the disciples that are questioning Jesus, that might be not fully comprehending, not fully understanding what it is that we're receiving. But let's ask for the grace to be like the Samaritans that are at the end of this gospel, that we can have that conversion of heart, that we can be those disciples this Lent that Jesus is calling us to be. That's what Lent is all about, having a conversion of heart and turning back to the Lord. Let's ask for that grace of that conversion of heart so that way we can say, just as they say at the end of this gospel, truly, this is the Savior of the world.